Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Tuesday. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May. Yeah, that's next month, not far from now. Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword right now, golf. Golf, G-O-L-F. Text it in, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. That is our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drinks, plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, balls, and an umbrella. Once again, text that word golf right now. Text it in for your chance to enter and win. Hour number two here on this Tuesday. I was kind of looking over Jeremy Stackhouse's roster. Willie, I want to get your thoughts. I'm going to start there. They have
Jeremy Stackhouse?
Did I say Jeremy?
Yes, you did.
Oh, here we go. Jerry. Did I really say Jeremy?
Yes.
Oh.
Jerry, I think Stackhouse. So, too. I'm going to go back and review the tape. But
I'm not disputing it, but, I mean, yeah, I don't know why I said Jeremy.
Jeremy Stackhouse.
Jerry Stackhouse has lost six players, but he's added five. So this has been quite a turnstile for this roster. I mean, what do you make of? I mean, you've got a kid coming in from what, Dayton, a kid coming in from TCU. You had Max Evans and DJ Harvey go to TCU. A kid coming in from TCU. I mean, I can't even keep up with this.
I can't keep up either. I don't. This is what I don't like, and. One of the things that I really enjoyed about college basketball was the flow, like as a fan, you know, not as a player, but really both, is just the getting to know a team and watching them grow up together. But now it's just like they come and go. It's in and out. It's different guys. I use Kentucky as an example, right? They changed. They used to be like that. And now for a Kentucky fan, it's hard to keep track of who played what year, right? And for a team, you know, a program like that that's so nostalgic, you pay a price for having that. And so now you have a new layer with the transfer rule where you can freely go. You know, just you're not building anything, right? You're piecing together a squad. It's like more of a you know, you go to the yard, you know, the pickup game. You pick up guys. Hey, okay, who's got next? Okay, can I get on your team? I just lost over here, but can I get on your team over there? No, I'm on this team. I got this guy's got me over here. You know, that's what it feels like to me.
Is the door 100% closed on Scottie Pippen?
I don't think he's hired an agent, right? Not yet.
He has not.
He has retained his eligibility, but, you know, we know how that works, right? I think he's looking for reasons to go pro, not looking for reasons to come
back. I don't think he's going to transfer. I just think it's just about whether he's gonna take the next step or not, right?
But right. Yeah, NBA but career. You know, these days, it's almost like he's a free agent. I don't know who knows that he wouldn't transfer if he's gone to this point. I don't know.
Right.
Honestly,
why do you think there's so much movement?
Because of the rule.
No, but I mean, if you're happy, you're not moving. So why is there all this shuffling around? Why have six kids?
Well,
left?
It's wild, wild west. It's happening all over the country.
But I
Tennessee's
think because
got just
it's
as
new.
Much turnover in their on their team.
Yeah, I think it's because it's new. It's like, oh, we can do it now. And so
yeah, I think people are gonna find that it's not as the grass is not greener on the other side in a lot of cases. It's always been the way it's been. And just because you don't have to sit out, it's not gonna make any difference. Half the people are gonna go to a new team and be no better off than they were, and they'll have to be starting over in class at a new school. They don't know anybody. I don't like it.
Well, that's why
it's
you
not,
only get
not
one.
It's not a good thing.
That's why you just get the you know the one, and that's the decision you have to live with. But I think you will see it settle down once you get past the initial of, oh, yeah, we can all transfer.
Why would it settle down? I mean, for the same – if they're doing it now, I mean, the kids, there's going to keep new crop of kids coming in from high school and – and so why would they change? I mean, why would that mindset change?
I just think you won't see as many. I'm not saying it's going to go away. I just think right now it's, you know, kids that it doesn't matter what class they're in. Like, they've been there for 3 years and maybe they're sick of a coach or whatever, and then they do it. You're going to see it become more of a normal thing. So I don't think you'll see quite the wave like we're seeing now is what I mean.
I know, but I guess I just I don't understand what would change. I mean, for the reasons that they're doing it, why would that change over time? I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking the question. I mean, I don't know why they got some big kid from what was a 7-footer from Minnesota. I mean, I don't know their reasons behind and why are all these guys jumping ship? I mean, like I said, they've had 6 leave, 5 come in. I don't know their reasons.
I wonder what that looks like relative to, I'd like to see the list of the SEC teams, just for an example, and do a list of how many people are coming, how many people are going.
Well, Florida's been pretty – I've seen a lot of stuff on Florida, right? Or is it Florida? Maybe not. Was it Cleavon Brown? He went to FIU. He transferred to FIU. But I think it was Florida. I saw a lot of going in and out. On the right, it is hard to keep up with. I'll say that. It is definitely hard to keep up with. I'm just trying to figure out, without knowing the answers, what is going to change out. I mean, it's going to be new. The reason I say that, Chase, is it's going to be new for everybody. I mean, it's new now. It's going to be new for the new crop of kids.
It's going to be new for the coaches.
2 years from now, it's going to be new for coaches. So I don't know how they settle this thing down. I think this is what it is. And I think it's only now. I mean, look, people naturally, I mean, you guys know this. People naturally, you know, it's hard to keep people happy, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their own reasons. I mean, we see it in Willie, you've watched your kids grow up and play sports. You know, everybody, every parent, every family, you know, some are happy and some get it and some they're just never happy, right? And they're never going to be happy. And that's no different at the college, you know, at this level. Some kids just are never going to be happy, or their families. There's going to be a dad or a mom that always thinks their kid is better than they are, or they should be playing more. Or I mean, that's no different from the beginning stages of them playing sports. I've seen it since 4 years old till now, and I'll see it from now until he's done playing sports. And I don't know why it's any different for people that we're talking about now, right? I mean, it's just hard to keep. People, everybody thinks that they've got, or I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people think they've got all the answers, right? They don't walk in the shoes, they don't go to practice, they don't see all this stuff, but they think they've got all the answers. They show up to a game and they've got all the answers, and they don't. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's going to change. To me, it's like you've opened up the door to the OK Corral. I just don't know why the mindset would change. I've seen the mindset, you know, for decades, and I don't think it's ever going to change. So, to me, it's just like this is just the world it is, and this is what you've signed up for, and the coaches will have to deal with it.
It's just got to be frustrating for Jerry Stackhouse, because he takes over a team that nobody thinks is going anywhere. They hadn't won a single league game. He looks like he's making a lot of progress. He's got Aaron Nesmith. Nesmith gets hurt. Then he does a great job of developing Saven Lee, who's playing in the NBA. He is developing Pippen and Dessou. They become sophomores. The team looks like it's growing. There's a crop of freshmen that look pretty good. And now it's the team's. I was looking forward to seeing that nucleus stay together and grow for another year. And now that's completely scrapped, and you got a whole new set of guys coming in. It's starting over. But as you said, Darren, that's becoming what it is, unfortunately. But I guess some coaches will thrive and some won't. But it's all about corralling the players, right? Grabbing the transfers that are coming in. And I don't know if people are encouraging people to leave or what. But I don't think it's a good thing, to be honest with you. I just don't. That's not. It's not going to get more college basketball fans, I don't think. That's sort of my theory. I also think this. I don't know what you guys think. I just don't. I will believe Scottie Pippen is ready for the NBA next year when I see it. So it comes down to, would you be willing to play in the G League if that's what the next step was? What's better? Come back to the SEC, be all SEC, be maybe all American candidate, be part of a team that can start to win? Because that's what it's looking like. If he were to come back with these guys they've got coming in, it could be pretty exciting about what they could do.
All right, we must pause this conversation. It's a good one, but we must pause it. Let's bring in David Poile, Predators general manager. He is on the line with us for his weekly chat. David, how you doing?
I'm good today. Just getting ready. We're heading off to Chicago in a couple hours for two games up there. Two more of the biggest games of the year. All the games are the biggest games of the year, as you know, right, right now. So good win last night for us.
Isn't that what makes this fun, right?
Exactly, exactly. Wow. Glad that we're in the race. Way way better position today than we were at the first part of this year. And again, last night was really good, both on and off the ice. As I think you know, we were able to increase the attendance at Bridgestone Arena to 33%, and it really made a difference. I thought last night it was loud. It was a fun atmosphere. I was almost going to say it was almost back to normal, but I know the players all commented about it, so it was good. It really helped last night.
No doubt about it. Matt Duchene back after missing 22 games. He was back in the lineup Saturday night in Raleigh, in the lineup last night against Chicago, playing on the wing on that third line. One, what did you think of Matt Duchene's return to this roster, and what do you guys need to see from him moving forward?
I thought in the two games he's played is really good. Obviously, getting the goal is great. To me, he's created lots of offensive chances in his first two games back. Something that probably was missing a little bit from, I'd say, not only singling out Matt, but just about everybody's game at the first half of the season. So I think he's really excited to get back on our team and try to make a difference. Much the same as probably Ryan Ellis when he came back, and I loved what Ryan said, is that this is a totally different team. I think Matt sees the same thing. So again, numbering our lines 1, 2, 3, 4, they're all playing not equal ice, but everybody's getting a lot of ice time right now, and they all have a little bit different things that they bring to the table. Like obviously Sissons, Janot, and Trennan are very aggressive, hard hitting line, but now we're starting to get some scoring, on all three of our lines, and that could make a big difference for us because we've been hard pressed to get to that what I call that magic number, three goals. We couldn't do that against Carolina, but last night we got five goals, and Duchene got the first goal. So he got a goal last night. Cunningham got a goal, and the second line, got a goal on the third line. So it's all spread around really good. But I think Matt's a talented player and could really make a difference for us at this time with generating offense, creating chances, drawing penalties, and pushing back the other team's defense, and taking us from sometimes playing a little bit too much in the defensive end to playing more time in the offensive end. So it should be a big add for us down the stretch here.
After Thursday's loss to Carolina, it was decided that you guys were going to give Eric Gudbranson, who you acquired from Ottawa, the add right at the deadline, guy who's logged a lot of NHL games, team him up with Ben Harper, and you've done that the last two games. One, what do you need to see more out of Jeremy Davies as he's logged now more time? I thought obviously Thursday night was, I called it a little bit of a welcome to the NHL moment. I thought, he got roughed up a little bit. It tends to happen early on in your career. What do you need to see more out of him moving forward, and what did you make of Gudbranson's two games that we've seen to this point?
Well, on Davies, again, we've ventured so many young players into our lineup with pretty good success. And I think for Jeremy Davies overall, some good success, played in some big games for us, some big wins for us. I think there's been some inconsistencies. And I think that's when I say that, that's always a little bit of a catch-all for all younger players where they have to come up, go back, down a little bit, learn a little bit more. But I think, right now the pace has got to be quicker for Jeremy. I think some of the moves that he was getting away with and doing successfully in Milwaukee are now starting to hurt him a little bit quicker with the puck. He's certainly got the hockey sense. He's certainly got the vision, but quicker feed, quicker moving the puck, spending less time on our end, not making those turnovers. So I'm hoping that he's going to use this time to look back at the games he's played, maybe look at some of the film, see where he's had some success, and see where maybe he could have done things a little bit differently. But all in all, it's another young player that we think has a nice future for us. And for Gudbranson, again, you bring in, and this is a tough situation at the trading deadline, you bring in somebody like Gudbranson that's, been a first-round pick and been a pretty good player in the league for a long time. And it's certainly, I don't want to say easy, but I guess that's what I'm trying to say, to default to the more veteran player. And he brings a wealth of experience, and he brings a lot of size and a little bit more grit, which is how we're trying to play. So you know, the decision kind of was a double whammy, you know, right there where, you know, the grants is pretty common, collected back there, and just, I think, gives us a little bit more experience and a defensive and, you know, fairly beat up all year long. So, you know, for a couple of games, I think it's a good add for our team as we push to make the playoffs.
Speaking with David Poyle, Predators general manager, he's on the line with us. We've talked about Mikael Granlund's play all year. He's been spectacular, currently centering that second line. He had two assists last night, almost 23 and a half minutes of ice time and almost 9 minutes of special teams play between power play and penalty kill. Also took 13 draws, led the team in block shots. I love his play behind the net. Why has this all come together? And it seems like on John Hines' watch for Granlund.
Well, I think when you just rattled off those stats, I mean, pretty easy to figure out that he's one of our most valuable players. And, you know, last night played the most of any forward, and you'd have to think his contribution was as high as any one of our forwards. And that's for anybody that's been watching the Predators this season, and for sure in the last, you know, 20 games, I'm not sure we've had a better forward right now than Mikael Granlund, the way he's played in, as you just said, in all situations. He's really versatile, and most of his time with the Predators in the last year and a half has been on the wing. And then because of injuries, which we've had our fair share of them, he's got moved back to center, and it seems to be a really good fit for him, and again for us. That used to be his more natural position when he was drafted and played younger. But because he's so versatile, he got pushed over to the wing and fit in wherever the team needed him. But, you know, right now it looks like that's the right position for Granny, and the right position for our team to give us the best chance of being successful every night. But he's having a really good season. He doesn't get the most points. He probably, like all offensive players, you'd like to see them put up more goals or assists, but his value is in a lot of intangibles. And as you said, most ice time last night, special teams, all those things. He's clearly one of the key forwards that John Hines goes to in every situation.
Talking to David Poyle, general manager for the Predators. And David, you know, I was reflecting a little bit last night when I saw that it was Cale Yarncroke's 500th game. And, of course, they're all with Nashville after you guys traded for him at the trade deadline several years ago. But he's so steady. You know, I never would have thought that I would say here he is leading the team in goals. But he just seems to do whatever is necessary, you know, that you can put him anywhere. And a guy like that, I'm sure you understand better than anybody else, is so valuable to a team, and it goes beyond what the numbers say.
I like what you're saying, steady. I mean, it's we always throw around the word consistency all the time, and if you were going to list our players as the most consistent from game in and game out, I think Yarny would always be at the top of the rung there. He again, much like Granlund, is very versatile. He's a right-handed shot that was drafted as a center. We used him a lot at the center when we first traded for him, and then he's played a lot over on right wing, and now here he is playing left wing. So you can't really ask more for that. He's now found his way onto the power play, which he's played sometimes in the past before, and he's been able to score a couple goals in the power play. He kills penalties for us, so just a very versatile guy that can play in all situations. And if you can get more players like that, you know, like Granny and Yarny, that are pretty versatile and you know, really, I'd say, very good players defensively. And we often, you know, talk about how good we want players to be offensively, but defensively they're really good and solid players. And I think that's, you know, one of the changes that we've probably made in the second half of the season to get to where we are, is that we've been really, you know, starting to go with Saros and Pekka, of course, but our goals against and our defensive play and our penalty killing, all those things that have improved. And it's like players like Yarny and Granny that have really helped solidify us being able to play the correct way.
You know, you guys made a commitment to Luke Cunningham. You certainly traded for him. You traded a good asset and such a steady guy, Nick Bonino, to get him. And it looks like Luke Cunningham, with each passing game, gets more comfortable in the role that he's playing. And, you know, we thought he was a big force last night for sure. Are you really encouraged on how he has come on so strongly in the last 10 games or so since he got off the injured list?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Again, another player sort of fitting in with our team in a not perfect way for the first half of the season. And, you know, a couple goals is great in the first two games, if my memory serves me right, and then long dry spell and some inconsistencies and an injury. But since he's come back to this, referred to again, this new team, he's now a big part of it. And, you know, last night, not only scoring a goal, but, you know, getting shots on goal, getting hits, playing the, again, as John Hines likes to say, the right way. It looks like we've got a good up-and-coming young player that, you know, should be a big factor in, you know, in this stretch drive to make the playoffs and in years to come in terms of, you know, the growth of his game and the potential that he has. So really like Luke Cunningham's coming back off of his injury.
I know your focus is solely tomorrow against the Blackhawks and the next challenge because it's such a tight race and there's not much margin for error. But with each passing game, Juuse Saros continues to make a statement. He's just been tremendous. And the longer he does it, it's such a bigger body of work since he's been sort of given the reins to go out there every night. What's your thought process now, big picture, with him? Or is it still a little too early to really go down that road?
Well, the thought process or the big picture has always been the same, as that we felt that there's a transition, you know, happening in the last little while with he and Pekka. You know, we knew this year was going to be a tough year with a condensed schedule, and we thought that they would both play a lot, and they have both played a lot, though now Juuse has clearly taken over the reins. But we do place, you know, back-to-back games coming up next week. We do play, you know, a series of three and four and six, those type of situations. And I think we're going to need both goaltenders. But, again, it's, you know, it's inevitable that it's eventually going to be Pekka's last year, and I'm clearly not saying that it's going to be his last year this year. And I'm looking forward to talking to Pekka after the season to see what he wants to do. But, you know, at his age and where he's at versus where Saros is, I mean, this is the natural progression, and Juuse is doing a fantastic job. There's no question that we wouldn't be where we are without Juuse's play to this point in this this current run that we're in. And again, for us to make the playoffs, we got to keep challenging. He's gonna have to, you know, keep it up. And I would, you know, love to make it and get into the playoffs for so many reasons. But one of them is, again, it would probably Juuse his chance again to play in the playoffs. And I think that's really where goaltenders, you know, earn their stripes, if you will, with, you know, playoffs performance, playoff round wins, those type of performances.
We're talking to Predators general manager David Poile. Joins us every Tuesday at 11:15 here on Darren Donick and Chase. And David, Philip Tomasino is somebody we've talked to you about throughout this season, as he's had a tremendous year in the AHL. He's been on the taxi squad. What are kind of some things that you've seen out of him, and do you think that maybe there's a chance, albeit your team is played well as of late with the current lineup, but and you got to get some injured guys back, but what are you seeing out of Tomasino?
Well, as I think everybody knows, Phil is going to be a big part of our future. I think as soon as next year, I would think that he would get a really good chance in training camp based on his development this year, from the World's Junior playing for Canada to his performance down in Chicago at the AHL level, to, you know, his training camp here, to now being with us in the taxi squad and just being around our guys. Never say never this year with all the crazy things that have happened, from COVID to the amount of injuries that we've had. But I think Phil's just in a really, really good spot. You know, if the opportunity presents itself, I don't think we have any hesitation to put him in there for a game or so. If that happens, that would be fantastic. If it doesn't happen, I think the big thing to stay focused on, and I know Phil's focused on, is just to be getting better every day and to get himself bigger and stronger in this offseason so that he gives himself every chance to play for the Predators next year.
We talked to you earlier about Matt Duchene coming back into the lineup. How close do you think you are to getting some of those guys like a Forsberg or Tolvanen and others that have been out of the lineup for a while? How close do you think they are to coming back?
Getting closer. but not quite ready. We're probably going to get a couple of guys that actually have a chance maybe to play at the end of this week. You know, every time I, you know, you ask me that question, I hesitate a little bit because I've been usually wrong. I'm trying to push it a little bit.
Now you know what it's like to do 4 hours of radio.
Good point. Good point. So we're getting closer, but as far as specifically, I think maybe Phil's best opportunity might be next week.
And finally, David, you're a guy that has played more games and been in the league longer than your team has been a team. Patrick Marleau passing Gordie Howe last night for most games played. Just how cool is that for the league? And you saw the support that Vegas showed him when they lined up to mm-hmm. congratulate him. But just a tremendous accomplishment by a guy that has been in some battles with the Predators over the years.
Yeah, unbelievable. I remember in an interview process, not that we were going to get him, and you know, at that time, where I was, and he was from Saskatchewan, from a farm. I mean, small city, very, very shy. And they were like, he was just thinking, like, can this guy really handle the NHL, the big city? I mean, you could see his talent and all that stuff. But there was some, just, wow, just coming from this small town background. And as they say, look at me now, 23 years later, you know, he's got the record and saw him with his wife. There's four kids. So everybody grows up, so it was fantastic. He's always been a really top player, and obviously had some great games against the Predators, some of which I'd like to forget. But congrats to you, Patrick Marleau.
Chris Mason mentioned that last night, David. He says, I think I padded Patrick Marleau's stats some during those prime years of his. He wasn't looking back fondly on those.
I can remember lots of his goals. So no, just fantastic. You really have to be dedicated to be able to play that long, and he's just done a fantastic job, and still a guy that can make a good contribution to his team after 23 years. Awesome,
no doubt about it. Appreciate the visit as always. Go enjoy some deep dish pizza, hopefully over some victories. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, thanks guys.
David Poile, Predators general manager, every Tuesday at 11:15. Predators are 6-0 versus the Blackhawks this season, and they'll continue that tomorrow night. A little bit earlier start than normal, 6 o'clock start. It's going to be on NBC Sports Network and, of course, right here on the Predators Radio Network, 102.5 The Game. I'll have pregame for you at 5, and then Friday night back at 7 o'clock. Both of those contests at the United Center. We'll come back and discuss some things you just heard. We'll do that on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. There you go, David Poile, his discussion with us on Mikhail Granlund. Back here on Darren Donica Chase. Don't forget, tune in to Robbie and Rex Road, 8:45 in the morning on Predators Game Days. That's tomorrow morning at 8:45 for your pick to click, your chance to get in there and pick a Predators player and to score a goal that night. If they do, you can win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So be listening tomorrow morning at 8:45, your next opportunity. We just talked to Joe last hour. He picked Matt Duchene, who we're getting ready to talk about.
Yes,
and of course, he did score. So good by him, and I think he continues to be in the lead. All right, let's talk about Matt Duchene.
Well, let's start with this. I think it's pretty interesting what you just heard from David Poile. When you asked Darren about Granlund, and he talked about how Granlund has really become a fit at center.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Duchene, since he's come back, has been on the wing. And before the season started, I don't know that you would have predicted that, but that is really where it's at right now. Granlund is a fixture at center. He was outstanding last night. And to Duchene's credit, he's come in and he's saying, I'll go play where you need me to play. You know, I know he was signed to be a center. I think he would prefer to play center. But his analytics, not only did he score a goal, but his analytics were phenomenal last night. Huge numbers in his favor when he was on the ice. So that's a very good sign. And I just think that's a really interesting twist that we would not have predicted before the season. Just like, who would have predicted that Cale Yarncroke would be leading the team in goals right now?
No one.
Nobody.
No.
But
no
but one. The question will be, okay, can Duchesne build off of this? Right? We said yesterday, let's just start with making a play. You know, and so sure enough, who scores the first goal? It's Duchesne. He makes a play. Big confidence boost. So where does it go from here? It's intriguing. It's just such a, it's something that they've just learned to cope with, that, you know, you've kind of lowered your expectations on what you're going to get from him. But if he could catch fire, or Johansson, we've talked about this, you know, over and over and over, but if you could just get a spark for 9 games, it could make all the difference in the world.
I brought up Granlund just because, you know, one, the way he's playing, and two, when you just look at overall what he's doing, it's really about what isn't he doing. I mean, he is doing,
he's doing everything.
So, and I bring that up because we know he's back on a one-year deal. I think we all kind of felt like last offseason he was probably going to get away, that he was not going to come back, and instead he did come back at a much reduced rate, about $2 million less than, you know, his previous contract that had expired. And, you know, the more I watch him play, the more I watch him play in this system, the more he does everything. You do wonder, are they really going to, you know, is he really going to go somewhere else in the offseason? I know that, you know, money is going to play into this, but if they really, really want him back, they will figure it out. In other words, sometimes, you know, you bring somebody back, somebody's got to go. We all know how this works. But I just, the more I watch him, I was just astounded at, you know, here's a forward, or in this case, a center, playing 23 and a half minutes last night. 23 and a half minutes and almost 9 minutes of power play and penalty kill minutes.
That's
and taking draws
time.
And blocking shots and shooting. And getting assist. I mean, he is, like I said, I continue to marvel at his play behind the net. It blows me away how effective he's been and how well he is and the things that he does behind the net. But what doesn't he do? And I just wanted to hear what David Poile would say, right? How would he talk about Granlund? Well, you just heard it. He was glowing about Granlund. So are we really to believe that Granlund's going to get away this offseason, even though his contract is up? I don't know. It's starting to feel more and more and more like I'm not sure there's a scenario really where he's not in the mix in the future. Do you guys agree or disagree?
Well, I think you've hit it spot on. You just can't watch them every night and not notice him everywhere. You know, not just, you know, making some nice plays to generate goals, but, you know, screening in front of the net, boxing somebody out defensively, you know, diving to block a shot, winning a puck battle in the corner. He's just been incredible. You know, he's energizing other players. He's bringing out great things in Luke Cunning, I think, and Callie Yarncroak. That's become a real heartbeat kind of line, those three guys. And once again, you go back to what did you think was gonna look like before the season started? I don't think I would have had those three guys together as the guys that, you know, when you need a big play or you need your most valuable guys on the ice, who are you going to? Those three guys are the answer a lot. So all that to say, Darren, I'm kind of with you. I think it just is looking like you got to try to find a way to keep him here somehow.
Well, and here's my thing on it. You brought up the money, and yes, that's always a factor and always important, but with the cap being a flat cap, I actually think that, and you look at last season, last offseason, yes, Mikhail has had a better season this year, and so that price will probably go up, but, you know, surely he recognizes it too. And so maybe you're able to get him on more of a deal that is going to be fair for him, but fair for the Predators as well, and not break the bank. Maybe you can get him locked up for another 2 years or what have you. I don't think this is a huge long-term deal. I don't think anyone's thinking
I'm
that.
Not saying that. Yeah, no, I'm not.
No.
You guys know how I feel about that.
Sure.
I just.
But if you get him back for 2 years at, like, if you did eight million, so four per year.
I was going to say 4 to 4.5 is probably what his agent would put. I mean, look, if we're sitting here, you know, reeling off all these stats. What do you think his agent's going to be doing?
Yeah, David exactly. Boyle? He's looking at comparables, all of those things.
Yeah, I mean, his agent is going to lay it all out there, and it's going to, you know, yes, within reason, because I do think, without knowing for sure, and we don't have any access to the room. We don't get to talk to them at all, so we don't have any idea, but we did last season. It feels like, and there's a reason why he's back here. Clearly, he likes being here, right? I mean, there is something to him. I'm not willing to go out and say, hey, this is their home, right? The Grandlands, when they leave the arena, they talk, you know, this is their home. But it does feel like they want to be here. So that plays a part into what you're saying. But look, it's still a business, and his agent is paid to get him the most money. And if it's within reason and it's, you know, a deal like you said, like a 2-year deal, and it's reasonable, I don't see any scenario where really he's not in the mix. Now, like I said, it may come at a cost for somebody else to bring him back, but right now, I mean, you tell me, you guys tell me, who's the, today, they're through 47 games, who's the MVP of this team right now, today? If you had to pick one, and right now,
well, okay, if you take Saros out of the mix, Saros is the MVP.
Take the goalie out. Thank you. That's where I was going. Take the goalie out. Take 74 out. Who is the MVP of the team right now today?
It's one of two guys. It's either Roman Josi or Mikael Granlund, I think.
And it's probably Granlund just because Roman Josi missed time, right?
Right.
I think you could make that argument. Yeah.
I mean, Granlund, I think
missed a couple
you're...
games, but I think he's been such a steadying force to get him through the tough times and, you know, overcome, you know, with Johansson and Duchesne spending a lot of time injured, and then when they've played, they haven't played great. You know, him filling that gap at center, I think, has been invaluable. So, yeah, and the other thing is you kind of expect Josi to be really good. So in the realm of sometimes the MVP gets votes because it's a little bit unexpected. Like, that's why Mike Trout doesn't win the MVP every year.
Yeah.
Even though he might be the best player every year. I think that's why you might vote for Granlund.
And I don't think you're going to get any pushback. That's the point. That you're not going to get any pushback. And if that's your answer, really, you're not bringing back the MVP of your team next year?
Yeah.
You know, unless his agent is just crazy, you know, unless they just come back with, hey, we need 7.5 a year. I mean, I get it. Like, everybody would get it. But I don't see that. I mean, I think, like I said, if everything is within reason, I just see no scenario where he's not going to be back.
Well, and think about it, too. You are guaranteed to lose a player. We all know that. You're going to lose a player, and for this team, most likely – I think it'll be a forward. So most likely somebody, whether it's, you know, Yarncroak because his contract is favorable, Sissons is another one, you know, who knows? But you're going to lose a player. So you got to figure that out. You know Tomasino is on the way, but Howla's going to be gone. I don't see a scenario where he's back. Cousins still has
a year
left.
What's crazy is he's playing really well too.
He is. He is.
Really, do you know he won 11? He won 11 of 12 draws last night.
Yeah, he was excellent last night. I think he deserves a lot of credit because he got off to a slow start and he was scuffling there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cousins was in that same boat, and those two guys have sort of been in the same boat, right? Hall and Cousins, they've been together. They've gone through some dry spells, but I do think the last, as the stakes have risen.
Mm-hmm.
I think their game has risen.
And his penalty kill minutes.
The penalty
have been
kill.
Huge.
Very important.
Huge.
Yeah. Holla is a threat. Not only is he a sound penalty killer, but he's a guy that the other team has to say, you got to watch him, right? Because he can sneak out on you and create a shorthanded chance.
You can. Chase, why don't you tell us about some bets?
I can do that. And not Mookie Betts, but we love Mookie Betts. So, but let me talk about BetMGM.
Can you bet on Betts?
You can. You can. In fact, you should pay attention to this because of what Mookie Betts does. Baseball players, they may not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using the code 1025GAME100, and if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Braves or the Yankees, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. And after the baseball has left the park, there's no reason for you to leave your seat. Discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME100 to win $100 in free bets when you bet on the Braves or the Yankees and either team hits a home run. Swing for the fences with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Dan Shanka from Our Lads will kick off the third hour. That's coming up here shortly. Guys, it looks like we've been talking about how downtown is starting to feel and look a lot more like normal times. It's going to look even more normal July 4th. Have you guys seen the big announcement today?
I have heard.
July 4th. It's back. It's
we back.
Back.
Huh?
Brad Paisley is going to headline the concert. And, Butch Spearden today said that it's going to be bigger and better than it's ever been. He said it'll be the biggest fireworks show in Nashville history.
That's cool.
So there you go.
Well.
By the way, in 2019, they said there were almost 350,000 people downtown in 2019.
Wow.
Man.
I don't think I was one of them.
I was not either.
I'm going to be honest. I don't remember not. 2019.
wait a minute. What does that mean?
This is the thing, don't you think, is we have sort of a lost year where you remember things, but there's kind of a, okay, what class is this guy? Like, there's all these, like, you got your eligibility back in college, and is he a sophomore? Is he a sophomore in his second year or a freshman?
I think Willie missed that one. I don't think that's where Chase was going.
No, I know what you're saying, Chase, but I have the, don't you guys think that it's also hard to remember exactly what year was what?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, because of the skipped year?
I think
it's just something on top of everything else.
I know I did something, but I think I could have been out of town. I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure I was having a good time, but there's a lot of times where it's, you know, from one year to the next, I don't remember like what I did for a birthday or a trip. It's just, they run together.
Yeah. Now that you say that, I think that was when we went to Denver. I think, and went to a couple Rockies games. That was that was over the 4th. So we were out of town. Yeah, we were out of town. We were in Denver. That's right, because we did it, or actually we may have came back on the 4th, but we did not go downtown. Imagine that. But yeah, they said it's going to be bigger than ever this year, so go get those shots.
I was really, I was preparing.
So you can go full throttle.
I was preparing to join you guys. That was around that time.
That is very
so,
true.
So that adds to the blur. that definitely adds to the blur for me.
Go get your shots, Chase.
I am going today to get number one.
You got number one today. All right.
Going to get number one.
Oh, I thought you guys went to Cincinnati this weekend to get shots.
Different kind of shots.
Oh, that's different kind of shots.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, you can get them all. Get them all.
Yeah.
Just include the vaccine as one of the shots. Then you
can we do both?
At
I don't
the
like
same
needles.
Time, I don't
can
like
we
needles,
do both?
Yeah. Like you like tell the nurse, you give me a shot in this arm and I'll take this shot right here.
It's a good play. Double play. 4-6-3.
Did I see where there is a comedy tour coming through Bridgestone Arena this month, at the end of this month? Is that
– Yes.
Did I see that right?
Yes, you did.
That would be the first non-hockey? Am I making this up, or would that be true? That would be the first non-hockey event
in
since
real
shutdown?
Life, in real life comedy tour is what you're talking about. Mike Epps, Mark Curry, DC Young Fly, Carlos Miller – and Country Wayne.
So that's the first one back, right? Non-hockey related?
This Saturday.
Is it this Saturday?
Yep.
Oh, I thought it was the follow. It was a. Wait a minute. Is this Saturday? No. I thought it was the one at the end of the month.
It's April 24th.
Okay. Wow. All right. It's starting to feel better. Last night, you know, felt normal. Fireworks. There we go. I guess David Kells is back.
David Kells.
Yes, he is.
He is
back.
I'm telling you, he is.
Saw him last night.
He is awesome.
Patrolling.
He is going to fill up that place soon. Going to fill out that schedule. I like it. All right, we'll come back. Dan Chanka to start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.